Do you hear me well?
Yeah.
Salut, Olivier.
Salut. It's been a while, huh? Very nice to see you all. I have a question that maybe is a bit adjacent when it comes to kind of like the content of your argumentation. But very early on in your talk, you talked about maybe it was an attempt at reconceptualizing in another domain of knowledge or something. But you talked about strike and revolution in terms of pragmatics. I don't know if you want to unfold on this a bit more. I was very intrigued.
Yeah, so I was just saying that so if we think of this, this the idea that this game is being played in a purely kind of inductive register, right, where you're effectively trying to predict various patterns and trying to win by predicting better those patterns, right? Different competing hypotheses, which are all inductive. That's fundamentally mistaken in the sense that really there's a much wider process, which is this kind of simultaneous elaboration at the semantic, in this conjoined semantic pragmatic level, which so the semantic level is the full spectrum of reason, and the pragmatic level includes, actions, which may be collective actions like strike and revolution, which are things that will, massively affect the dynamics of capital.
Sure. Thank you. It's crystal clear, as usual. Thanks.
I have a last question, Inigo. Maybe it's also to relate it to what Arnaud talked about just before, relating to the idea of the game and the outside of the game. I don't know if you could react on that with the idea of the pricing and the priceless, basically. Okay, does everything has a price, or is the game of pricing is only exists through the continuation of the myth of a priceless.
You mean priceless, as in like it can't be given a price.
Something.
So life, for example, a life.
Or well, like that, yeah. It's something which is invaluable. Mm-hmm. Which is impossible to incorporate into value, which if you think about it, the more capitalism goes into the microstructure of society, the more this kind of idea of a priceless, of an invaluable kind of a spiritual floating thing is also very present in our society. So I'm just thinking of this dialectic between, because Arnaud was arguing that every game is set on the background of out of the game, hors jeu. Can we is the act of pricing set on the pricelessness of what I mean? This dialectic.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. I mean, I think that often. Well, in the current capitalist economy, you have this idea that there are things that are priceless, but they're continuously, like, either implicitly or explicitly priced, right? So a life is worth a certain amount, right, in money terms. Then I think, for example, you can define, you could, in this kind of ideal new operating system, or this possible new operating system, you would have certain kind of intrinsic aspects, certain intrinsic imperatives of the game, right? Which would be to the maintenance of the ecology and of the dignity of life forms within it, would, let's say, I don't know how that would work in terms of the structure of pricing? I haven't thought through
that yet. No, I'm asking that question also because it's related to the work that you mentioned, the axiom where you see all these animals. One thing that I didn't mention is sometimes it's presented as a performance where you have a performer that tells a text, basically, on the back of the image of this film with all these animal, currency animal. And the text is about... It poses a very basic question: is how much would it cost to turn off the sun, to shut it off, and which is based on a Bataillean kind of, on our own response or question to Bataille, where Bataille obviously puts into the sun the valueless, the gift without any reciprocity. But the question that we ask with Raphael with this film is: how many of these animals and of these values would you need in order to extinguish the sun, and basically to put a price on the valueless, on the priceless, supposedly, and maybe, that's our kind of fantasy, that maybe one solution one path is to get rid of this fantasy of the valueless and the priceless, and maybe exactly as you said, capitalism feeds on this idea, on its border, and it feeds on this kind of on its pseudo outside, and maybe it's a kind of an accelerationist take, but could we price once and for all everything, and even the supposed pricelessness of the sun.
I don't know. I mean, but it also then it goes into, it's this similar question to the way that negative externalities have been treated as well. So the idea that, you can say, we could solve, for example, pollution by making a market for pollution, that then brings it into the market and allows it to be priced and exchanged and so on. I don't think that's the case, right? Because there's no, it's not about, it's about reorganizing the whole system, like the imperatives of the system. If the imperative of the game at the moment is who can profit, who can make the profit, in this kind of game of one-upmanship. Whereas, if you change the game structure entirely, then you get a different outlook on the pricing process, I guess. But I don't know further than that. I haven't thought.
No, it's good.